Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm here with Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you feeling?
Feeling great, but not as great as you in New Orleans.
Oh, man, this place is beautiful. It's not even that warm. It's like 20 degrees, but sun's out. Just walking around. It's beauty here.
Sun's out, guns out.
It's me. Let's hope not, though. Banger in the paint. Rojan Walia, how you feeling?
Hey, you know what? I don't get to watch Kristen Wood, so... Again, you're describing paradise to me.
Yeah, I'm going to go see that game on Sunday, man. Can't not wait to see LeBron here. And who?
Come on, Christian Wood.
Who this?
The best big man in the NBA right now.
What? The hell are you talking
Move
about?
Move aside, Joel Embiid.
What is going on here, man? Who is this guy?
Best shot blocker in the NBA the past 3 days and averaging 29, averaging 25 points and 9 rebounds. I mean, come on.
Well, to be fair, it's actually 24 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 3.5 blocks over his last 2 games.
Not bad. Not too bad.
This guy quickly turned into a fantasy warlord in 3 days.
He's like the new Jeremy Lin from when Linsanity was happening, putting up crazy stats every year.
So what are we going to call this, though? That's the real question.
Wood Sanity.
Very original. Woodness.
Woodstock, bro.
There you go. Woodstock.
Come on, that's now.
Perfect.
Dang. 2 weeks of Woodstock to end the year in 2019. In New Orleans, of course. Alright, so what?
It's where the party's at.
It's true. Okay, how far are we from the playoffs? Like 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think playoffs start on the 13th, if I'm not wrong, or 14th, April 13th or 14th. So we're 2 weeks
April
out.
April 13th.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Same out. Weekend as Game of Thrones premiering.
I know it's a big week.
Which are you more excited for, Raj?
I'm going to have to say Game of Thrones just because it's been a year off. Like, it's been, what, some 700 days since the last episode?
Seriously?
Yeah, and let's just admit it. Like, the NBA playoffs are great, but maybe the first round might be a bit overwhelming. And it might be quick work for some teams.
Underwhelming.
Underwhelming, yes.
You think that the Raptors-Pistons matchup is going to be underwhelming? That might be like the best matchup ever. You've all heard of revenge games, but a revenge series? My God. Imagine the implications.
We're going to sweep them in 3 games, and they're going to quit after the 3rd game.
Yeah.
That's what you've said all year about them. And Detroit's 3-0 in the season series so far.
Yeah, because we know how much regular seasons matter.
Yeah, they do. I also think Detroit's just kind of got all the wins out of the Raps that they could in the regular season. It's kind of like the classic example, like you kind of showed your cards too early, and I think the Raps will take them seriously, and I think there's more motivation for the Raps.
I won't lie to you, man. I think they've been taking it very seriously. You think that the front office is just chilling when they just fired the head coach from last year, who was also coach of the year? No way, man. There's no way that they don't take the game seriously. I just think that they underperformed in every one of those games.
Yeah, but there's been a game where Kawhi didn't play. I think there's another game where Lowry wasn't there, if I'm not wrong.
oh, big deal. Toronto didn't have Kawhi or Lowry. What else is new in the season?
Yeah, but I'd say that
they played all year like that.
Yeah, but I'd say like when it comes to playoffs, when you have all your weapons ready and you play a team like at least four times, generally the better team, and we know that the Raptors are a better team. They come out to play.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not the better team. I'm just saying they got to be worried. It's not going to be quick work like we're all saying it's going to be.
Yes, coming from it absolutely.
What was that?
It absolutely will be a quick series. It doesn't matter who they play.
Yeah, you're a homer. You don't count, man.
Sorry. Different ball game come postseason, and Detroit, if they actually play Toronto, is not going to have a way of scoring besides Blake going for 40, and that's not going to be enough.
Yeah, well, you're assuming that Kyle Lowry actually shows up in the playoffs as well.
He doesn't have to. Siakam's our second best player now.
Yo, you think Siakam is going to show up in the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Having never done it before?
The playoffs are all about mismatches, right? And he is the ultimate mismatch.
No. The playoffs are all about the best player, which Toronto still has, but I wouldn't say it's an obvious sweep.
Yeah, they might get one game. They're lucky.
You're very optimistic.
But it's looking right now like it's not even going to be them because Brooklyn still has a really tough schedule remaining. And, you know, Miami might jump them too. So,
yo, Brooklyn might just fall out of the playoffs, man.
It's true.
It is true. I think also Detroit's not even perfectly safe. Like, what, there's a game and a half between the sixth and the ninth seed. And, like, they think all of them have, like, respectable schedules. I think Brooklyn's probably the toughest out of the bunch. Like, especially because they're playing, like, the top teams in the East. The issue is I think a lot of those top teams might start to look to rest players. Like, Toronto's done it all year. Milwaukee might be careful with Giannis going forward. So, it's really all going to come down to who performs, and there's going to be one team that's left out, and I've been kind of saying it for the last couple of weeks. I think the Magic are probably going to be a playoff team this year.
Yeah, Detroit has five potential playoff opponents coming up. They got Portland at home, Indiana on the road, Indiana at home, and then OKC on the road, and Charlotte at home. It's a huge game. And they end with first Memphis, and Memphis has been beating everyone lately. And then they got New York on the road, so that'll be a win.
So we just counted one guaranteed win out of the next seven games.
Yeah. And we know how much JB owns Drummond, so that, you know, game against Memphis is probably going to be a loss.
Yeah, they might just have to sit Drummond. Play Zaza.
It's probably a better matchup.
Zaza and Jose are going to run the show that game. Just watch.
Bruno's going to rip apart Griffin.
Bruno. Yeah, shouts to Bruno, man.
Shout out to the ex-Raptors.
No. Shout out.
AKA the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah. Shout out to Fran Fraschilla for calling it correctly. I mean, he actually was 2 years away from being 2 years away.
No, he wasn't.
It's his fourth year, is it not?
No, it's like his sixth year.
No.
Yeah, I think it's been his fifth or sixth year.
Okay, so he was 1 year off. He was 2 years away from being 2 years away from being 1 year away.
There you go. Good addendum. Good way to make up for it. So what do you...
So who do we have that's not making the playoffs? Because we have four teams, three spots.
Yeah, who do we think actually falls out? I still think that Orlando ends up out. I like this Detroit team too much, and I'm a bit of a homer.
I think you guys are discounting the team of destiny, the Charlotte Hornets right now. After that shot that Jeremy Lamb made, it seems like it's destined to happen. They're going to make the 8 seed.
Man, that was a very disappointing shot to see.
Yeah, I think do make it, it's going to come down to that miracle shot, like literally out of nowhere. But I just don't see that Charlotte, even though they have a fairly easy schedule, I don't think that Charlotte's going to make it. I'm going to say Miami's going to be the odd team out. They do have they do have one easy game against the Knicks, but besides that, they do play Boston twice in a home and home, and I guess they have to play Mini, which, depending on which Mini shows up, could be an easy game. But the last game of the season, which I think might end up deciding the playoffs in the East, is they play Brooklyn at Brooklyn. And that could be one hell of a game if it ends up being one game between Brooklyn, Orlando, and them. And especially when Orlando ends up playing Charlotte in their last game. So we might have some fireworks at the end of the season on April 10th.
You know, and looking at all of these teams' schedules, they all are just going through the gauntlet the last six games of the year. Oh, my God. I mean, Brooklyn's schedule is versus Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto. And then they got Milwaukee on the road. And then they got Indiana on the road. And then they have their last game of the year is against Miami at home, which might decide who's going to be the worst.
Oh, my God.
And the other teams they have the exact same type of schedule. It's crazy. Miami has Boston twice. They got Minnesota on the road, as you mentioned, Toronto on the road, Philadelphia at home, and then Brooklyn at home. They got New York in there as well. That's the one guaranteed game. Orlando has Indiana, Toronto, Atlanta, which, you know, they've been a tougher team to play against. Boston on the road, and then Charlotte at home. So the last, you know, day of the year, you have the bottom, you know, the East playing each other, which is going to be interesting if that's actually deciding what's going to be in. Which right now, I think all these teams might end up going on a 5-game losing streak, and then the playoffs. The seedings might just stay the same until then.
Nobody makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're going to let Washington in instead.
Yeah, for real.
I think the team that actually will ultimately decide who makes the playoffs and who doesn't is probably going to be Boston. They play basically every team in the bottom of the East. And they're probably going to have a huge say who makes it and who doesn't, because like their schedule is Indy. They play Brooklyn, they play Miami, Indy, Orlando.
Oh my God.
And obviously their one last trash game is against Washington.
Oh man, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Indy time too, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be interesting, especially because that matchup, the 4-5 matchup, is going to be pretty much locked in. And they're probably going to have a situation where if they don't think they're going to be able to grab home court, which I think they'll still be able to fight for, they might start resting some guys, looking at getting certain rotations working and getting ready for their first round matchup against Indy.
Man, they're already resting guys. Mm-hmm. Kyrie just sat this week already.
Yeah, like what's the incentive? They're not going to get the 3 seed.
That's true.
And especially if you win 4 or 5, you're essentially in the same position in terms of home court advantage in the further rounds.
What's that tapping noise?
I don't know. I feel it's my heartbeat going.
Yeah, right? That was so perfect.
Yeah.
That's wild. Oh, man. All right. Aside from who you think will make it, who do you want to make it into the last 3 seeds in the East?
I definitely think Brooklyn would be an interesting matchup. They're just young. I think they have a few pieces that could hurt teams. And I think that probably a team that's played pretty well consistently throughout the season instead of going on like crazy winning streaks. So I'd want to see them in. Obviously, Miami would be nice with Dwayne Wade. I guess Dwayne Casey, that him just making the playoffs for the Toronto story would be just enough. The one team that I think will make it, and I don't know, Orlando is kind of, I guess, the team without like the good storyline, and they're kind of been playing like up and down the entire season, but I think that they've played really well against some of the top teams in the league, but then they've also played completely trash against the New Yorks of the league.
when was the last time Orlando was in the playoffs?
Oof. They definitely had Jameer Nelson on the roster.
Yeah, since
last year.
Yep.
That's a long ass time.
Like what, 2011?
They're probably, 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. They're probably the longest tenure team in the group that we're talking about, right? That hasn't made it.
Yeah.
Hell, maybe even in most of the East, to be honest. Not all of the East.
Yeah, especially with Philly making the playoffs last year.
Yeah, Philly made it. Charlotte's being in there for the first round exits. Washington, same thing. Atlanta had that like one dominant year with like 5 All-Stars somehow. Chicago obviously had the Derrick Rose years. Cleveland is Cleveland.
Well, the Derrick Rose
had that like 1 year.
Yeah, but I guess 2012. Chicago. Yeah, yeah. And Chicago's been in it since Derrick Rose. Like, they had a great series when they had Rondo, and then Rondo got injured.
Oh, true. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Yeah, I really have no care for Orlando making it, to be honest.
No good story. And I think they're a better team than Miami, though. I think they have more problems.
I think they're funner to watch. Miami's really boring to watch.
Yeah, Miami can't score at all. Like, Orlando has trouble scoring too, but Miami really has problems putting the ball in the basket, especially when Dragic is not playing well.
Oh, so awful. It's just sloppy. It's like a bunch of rough dudes who don't know what they're doing, but they're all super athletic.
It's like playing pickup ball with a bunch of people you don't know. That's kind of how watching Miami is. It's like they're not even a real, like, professional team. Like, they have good players, but it's like they just don't play well together.
Yeah. Unless Dwayne Wade is on the floor, I can't stand to watch that team. Oh, God. What's happening? What's all this rustling? Okay, never mind then. You dick.
Wasn't me.
Uh-huh. Put your wood back away. All right, let's move on to the West. Between the third place and the eighth seed, we have four games separating them. The Trailblazers are currently in third place as of Friday morning. And in eighth, we have the Spurs. So obviously we have a bunch of teams dispersed in the middle. And this seeding will not be set, I guarantee, until the last day of the season. How can we even talk about this? Can we start by talking about the Trailblazers and where they're going to go now that Jusuf Nurkić is also injured? I mean, shouts to him. He's been having an incredible year. Obviously, he's had the career highs in almost every category, and he's just playing a lot better. He's a lot, more in shape than he was in past years. And that was like a gruesome injury to watch. But now, I don't really know where the Trailblazers can actually go, or even like how far they can go in the playoffs.
Well, I think we know how far they're going to go in the playoffs.
Nowhere.
Depending on who they match up with, though.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, without Nurkić and probably without McCollum, too, they're not going anywhere. It's going to be 1-2-3.
You think if they match up against the Clippers, they can't win?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because that's literally the current matchup right now.
It's pretty unlikely that's going to be the matchup, though, because Houston is going to bump them in the standings.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, if the Clippers keep winning, that might be the 4-5 matchup, which, you know, I guess they would have a shot in that because they had the best player in the series, obviously. But overall, I think, you know, the Clippers probably have more talent, which is sort of crazy to say.
Well, they have more talent with an injured McCollum and Nurkić.
Yes.
Yeah. The disrespect, man. You don't think Al-Farouq Aminu is talented enough to overcome Montrezl Harrell?
I think you answered that question yourself, Peter. But I don't think the Trailblazers are going to drop off as much as we expect them to. I think they have a favorable schedule going forward, especially like in the next four. They play Atlanta, Detroit, Minnesota, and Memphis. Like, although Memphis has been playing better, and so has Atlanta, I think those are all winnable games for them. And really down the stretch is when they'll have to kind of make sure that they don't lose too many, and they have a home and home against Denver, and they play the Lakers and Sacramento. I still see them winning another like 5 or 6 games, and especially because they do have a 2-game lead on, or a 4-game lead on eighth. Like, I don't see them dropping anywhere below sixth. So I can still see them having home court in the playoffs. And if they're able to play the Clippers, then maybe that's their one chance of winning a couple games. But I don't think they're going to beat any of the teams in the West with an injured Nurkić. And the sad thing is the fact that Nurkić is injured, I think they're going to be even extra careful with McCollum then.
Yeah, originally he was only estimated to be out like a week, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks, I think 1 to 2 weeks, and then they'll reevaluate.
Yeah, so it seems that they're just going to just keep pushing him off for a while now. Maybe straight until the playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah, like what's the use?
Well, they still want home court, right? The thing with a team like Portland is that they have so many role players that you need to have home court to even have a chance. Because if they go into Houston or to Utah on the road for the majority of the games, there's no way they take any games.
Yeah. It's a damn shame, because I think that this year, like, I think this is probably a topic we'll have to discuss more in the offseason, but I think this year for Dame, I think this is probably the year where he's like, you know what, I don't think enough has changed. Like, he wants a new scenery. And I think he deserves it. Like, Boogie came out and said that if he played in a top market like LA and Chicago, he would be one of the best players ever.
Ever.
Yeah, well, he said greatest players of all time, so...
Well, let's relax on bit, that.
but still, I think he'd be more noticeable than he is now, playing in a small market like Portland and isolated in the West.
Well, it's not just that, but it's the management, right? Like, if they're going to keep surrounding him with guys that they overpay who don't really perform, i.e. Myers and then Leonard and Evan Turner, it's kind of boned.
Can't argue there.
Right? Like,
yeah.
No, McCollum, having McCollum is, or Nurkic are one thing, but you have two, like, good players on this team, and that's about it. The rest of his benches, or his role players, are him carrying them.
Yeah.
They're not able to contribute.
Yeah, but, like, the way I look at it is I feel like Portland Trailblazers are kind of like the Raptors of the West, like, in the sense that they're guard-heavy. They have like, I guess Damian's their DeMar. And they had JV, which is the Nurkic.
Nurkic is better. That's real.
Yeah, yeah. No, Nurkic is, but I'm saying, like, in terms of just, like, kind of matching up the pieces, like, your top three players are those positional players. And
right.
And now you're looking at a situation where, like, the role players, like, they're good enough in the regular season, but, like, you know that it's more a factor of, like, them trying than it is their system or the individual player's talent. And when you play those teams consistently, like, back-to-back-to-back in a playoff series, like, their effectiveness goes down and you're able to really lock them down.
It's going to be tough. They probably fall to, like, the 5 or 6, I'm guessing, at this point.
Yeah, but they do have a favorable schedule, so I think that's going to help them, but not much in terms of how far they go in the playoffs. Like, I think they'll still have home court.
They have 2 games against Denver, too.
Utah's going to bump them.
Yeah. Utah's got, like, the easiest schedule going forward, don't they? Or, like, one of the easiest ones?
It's sort of funny how everyone was, you know, on OKC earlier in the season when their schedule was just a cupcake schedule. And now it's totally flipped to where Utah has been, like, a top three defense in the NBA since January 1st. And they've played a bunch of cupcake teams, and now they're going to go on a massive winning streak, and they're probably going to end up the 4 seed.
Yeah, Utah's problem was always just scoring, though. Like, I don't think anyone was actually too concerned about their defense. I remember I ripped on them a bit, too, but you still knew it was Utah. Right.
Sure. At the same time, though, they were middle of the pack in defense to start the season, and everyone was panicking because people were hitting shots over Gobert, and now over time, the law of averages is sort of evened out.
Yeah, it's because people feel sorry for him. It's crying on TV and stuff, and nobody wants to see that. Yeah. No, I'll let Rudy get this one. It's fine. He'll be a nice guy, you know? Can't have this man crying.
I really feel for Portland and Dame, especially if they have to play Utah in the first round, though, because they're going to force Dame to make shots over Gobert, and he's not going to have any help. So it's going to be really tough for him. Or if he plays the Clippers, Dame's going to be able to get off and probably average like 35 to 40 points a game. But against Utah, he's going to have to really, really work every game to even keep them competitive.
Yeah, it's going to be Rubio on the perimeter and then Gobert inside. That's killer.
Yeah, and it's the sad thing, too, is it's really going to be another series like they played against the Pelicans, where it's the whole storyline is going to be, where's Dame in the playoffs? Doesn't show up. But I think this one's really going to be that his team's been just completely outclassed.
Yeah, I think people are finally realizing that Portland isn't really helping his cause. After he complained about it last year, I think general media is actually finally seeing that. He's literally gotten no help. Aside from McCollum. And as much as I love them, this combination of Dame and McCollum don't really work too well together all the time.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, they have good statistical seasons, and, like, I guess regular season they're able to win a lot of games. I think especially their home court, and they have, I guess, role players. But overall, like, I think that is just the same thing that kind of happened with Toronto in terms of Lowry and DeRozan, like, two guards being your best players, and I don't think that's, like, an effective strategy going forward. And it's a lot easier for teams to kind of lock down, especially if you're getting like no production from your forwards.
Yeah, what you need is a DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge combination to be your best player. You need two dominant mid-range players.
Don't forget Rudy Gay.
Oh, Rudy Gay is actually killing it this year. I will not slander Rudy Gay.
Yeah, he's been stealing all the rebounds from DeMar from a fantasy perspective, so I'm angry at him.
It's not stealing. He's earned every one of those rebounds. He's taller. He's a better defender. He's lengthier. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like the, like I think we've talked about this, but he's like DeMar DeRozan without as much success in terms individual, like in terms of team success.
You mean like
wait, what has DeMar done? What has DeMar done?
What are you talking about?
DeMar's had consistently teams in like number one in the East.
Yeah, well, because we know how much regular season matters.
Yo, Josh, shut up, man. Everything for you just boils down to like the playoff success.
Well, doesn't it?
Partially.
That's a big part.
You're going to say Allen Iverson never did anything because he never won?
No. You still got to show up in the playoffs. Like, it's about individual performance, too, and how you affect winning. And I think in the past, seven seasons or so, DeMar's only had like one or two seasons where his team's net rating with him on the court has been in the positives.
In the playoffs?
No, in the regular season, too.
Oh, wow.
For real?
His bench has carried him the last few years, and even this year especially. Like, San Antonio's bench is like off the charts, and he's been a negative player on the court in terms of like him. Well, he's playing as starters, obviously, so that matters. Yeah. But at the same time, I think over 50% of the time the last seven seasons, he has not been a plus player while on the court. And again, he is playing against better competition, but at the same time, you should be a plus player if you're going to be like a top 20 guy or considered to be that type of player.
That's insane. Sorry, I don't know what else to say. That's insane.
Yeah, that is a crazy stat.
Wow, talk about stats corner here.
I came in hot too soon.
Oh my God. Wait, are you saying his plus minus has been worse over the past? Or oh wow, you're right.
Yeah, with him on the court, they have a negative point differential, and then when the bench comes in, they sort of even it out.
Okay, so from 2009 to 2013, he was in the negatives with Toronto, and then 2013-14 season to last year, he was in the positives. So that's 5-4, and then this year in San Antonio, he's minus 0.6.
Okay.
Wow. So he's just at 50%.
Over his season, but
career.
Yeah, over his career, sorry.
Over his career, but he's at 50% on net rating.
But, like, in his better days in Toronto, he was a net positive player. That's because Toronto was just blowing out the weaker East.
But partially. And
yeah,
he did improve over the last couple of years. Let's not take anything away from the guy.
Yeah. But in terms of player, would you rather have DeRozan or Rudy Gay?
Well, obviously DeRozan.
I don't know if obviously, like I'm you... not now, I meant like at their prime.
Rudy Gay.
Oh, in DeMar, their prime,
DeMar is a glorified Lou Williams.
Jeez. Man, I think I would know how to push your buttons. Yeah.
Is that not the truth? It's the truth.
No, he has more than one move.
Debatable.
Come on, he has at least two moves.
He's got the draw foul, and then pump fake, and the defender doesn't fall for it, so take a stupid fadeaway that doesn't go in. I guess that's two moves.
Yeah, Lou Will just has a pull-up left. Come on, man. Stop hating on the guy.
They're the same player.
So harsh.
Yeah. So where do we think San Antonio ends up? Like, are they going to be the team that ends up playing Golden State, or are they going to climb up? Because, like, right now, I think we kind of know that probably Houston's going to be the best of that pack besides Golden State and Denver. And, like, the rest of the pack is probably going to be jumbled up until, like you said, the last game of the season. It's just really going to depend on who's going to play Golden State.
I hope that it is San Antonio. Because I think coaching-wise, they're probably the best matchup for Golden State. But they also have, like, one of the easier schedules, so it's unlikely. like they have the second easiest schedule in the league going forward. The only team that they're playing in that's like above 500 is Denver over the next six games. So they're chilling. You know what I mean?
I hope that Oklahoma ends up playing Golden State in the first round. We all want to see an exciting first round. We know that the East playoffs are not going to be that fun to watch in the first round anyway. So I think to get the best Western Conference playoffs, you got to have San Antonio, Denver, Golden State, OKC. And with the other four teams, I don't know. You could sort of randomize it. It's going to end up the same way. I think Houston versus Utah would be great.
That would be a nice series.
I want them to go to the second round, though.
Yeah, me too.
I want both of them in the second round.
Me too. But honestly, as that, like with that as a first round, I think Portland and LA Clippers would be a fun matchup as well with a, you know, in terms of the scoring.
True.
So yeah. I think that's probably like the best four matchups you can get out of those eight teams.
I really hope that Denver does not match up with San Antonio.
Yeah, that's going to go seven games for sure.
Man, I am so scared of that matchup. I want Denver to get OKC. They're like 3-0 against OKC this year so far.
I feel like Denver's kind of screwed. Like, they haven't been playing well against some of the teams that they should be beating, like, in terms of just, like, which team has a better roster. And, like, I think Denver has a cakewalk against Portland, especially the depleted Trailblazers. But even if they – and the Clippers probably, but every other team, like, they're kind of struggling against the Spurs, the Thunder, the Jazz, or the Rockets.
I think they're tired.
Yeah.
They seemed really fatigued.
Well, it's a good time to rest players.
Would be. And they have a pretty lengthy lead on third place, so I would just chill for a bit.
Yeah,
rest like guys here and there.
Yeah, just like go destroy that back-to-back against Portland, and you pretty much locked up the two seed.
Just as long as they do it after Sunday, I'm good with resting guys. I just don't want Jokic rested this week for my own selfish fantasy reasons, obviously.
I think they should go the opposite route with Jokic. I think they should be having him do as many suicides as possible, especially when he's not playing.
Get him in the game shape.
Absolutely.
Let him run with Coach Carter.
He's literally a cupcake on the floor. Guy is huge, man.
Who has a better post game, Jokic or Embiid?
Embiid.
Like offensively.
Embiid draws more fouls, right? So that matters in the playoffs.
I don't mean in the playoffs. I just meant in like, if they were just going head-to-head.
Head-to-head, I think that Embiid is a better scorer overall.
Yeah.
He gets better position. He gets to the basket easier. Like, Jokic, you know, he can take advantage of most smaller guys, but, you know, guys the size like Embiid, he takes more to the outside. He can't really post them up as well. I mean, he's super strong, obviously, but he's going to be taking those little flip shots from 10 feet, whereas Embiid's going to get to the basket and just put him through the rim.
Yeah, that's true. Embiid's a beast compared to Jokic. Jokic has a way of like finagling his way around defenders, though.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic is funner to watch in terms of him making his move to get to the basket, but Embiid just powers his way in, and he just takes better shots, so efficiency matters.
That's true. This is very true. I can't wait to see how the West turns out, because it's such a gong show from 3-8. All right, we got any stats corner this week?
We do not.
What? How could you?
I gave you my DeMar stats corner. That's all I got.
Oh, man. This guy, you're so unprepared. So unprofessional.
Just like, I mean, it's the March malaise, you know? Most teams are going through it right now. Like, Denver's going through it. Toronto's going through it.
The whole thing is what it is. Going
this season.
It.
Yeah, I mean, March Madness is here, and it seems like most of the games in the NBA right now are not all that competitive. It seems like they saved all the matchups for before and after March Madness, so. The last couple of weeks have not been great in terms of quality of play.
Have you guys been watching March Madness?
I've been dabbling.
I watched the highlights of yesterday's game.
Between nobody.
That's how much I'll watch
March Madness.
Yeah. I can tell you a bit about the games I've seen. Like, there've been some good games, but overall, there've also been some just poor offensive performance. In terms of like Michigan yesterday, they were number 2 seed and they went 0-18 from 3. Oh, and they didn't hit a shot outside the paint in, I think it was 27 minutes of action. So it was just abysmal to watch. Like, now I'm playing ball and you know what? I'm going to chuck up everything because I can't shoot as bad as Michigan did.
Let him fly, man. Let him fly.
Yeah, fearless.
That's the motto. Jay, you okay over there?
I'm back now.
Okay, well, just in time to say goodbye. Sorry, you're useless without any stats corner, man.
Why didn't you even show up?
Yeah, seriously. I should have
taken a load management day.
You should have.
Yeah.
Should have just played with your Christian Wood.
Yeah. Got it.
All right, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us up on, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Anchor, all the major platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.